So, hello. My name is Lyda Winfield, and I live in Burlington, Vermont. And my work is a mixture of dance and theater, storytelling, spoken word, and visual art. My allegiance is to the dance world, even though I am not a traditional dancer in any context. But I'm very new to working with film. Actually, this was one of very few projects that I have ever collaborated with a filmmaker. So it's been such a gift to work with Rebecca.
Great. Hi, I'm Rebecca Wiseman. I also live in Vermont, and I'm predominantly a video artist and installation artist. I have a background in photography and sculpture, but I'm constantly using different media in all of those worlds. And a lot of my work recently has been with using the body and using movement and using different environments and landscapes. So it's just a very synergistic to work with Lyda and to work with somebody whose skill is in the body and in expressing ideas through the body. It was just a very exciting collaboration for me.
Well, it sort of came from two different ideas that we kind of put together. Well, first of all, I'm interested in doing dance in non-traditional places, right? So a dance beyond the stage, in the woods, or in nature, or in unconventional environments. So I had this idea to pick a color and have everything in that location be connected to that color and really build art. So visual art and installation that was in that location, and then dance in that location connected to that color. In the last little bit, I have been thinking about imaginary friends. I feel really interested in imaginary friends, particularly because, frankly, they are often site-specific. So that is really fascinating to me. Very rarely do people have imaginary friends that just go anywhere with them, right? Like, they tend to be in a very specific spot. Like, I spoke with Rebecca, who had an imaginary friend that was site-specific, right? You had an imaginary friend named Jessica, actually, right?
Yeah, her name was Jessica. She lived under a rock.
Built under a rock, right? And so you had to visit her under the rock, and you had to bring her offerings. Is that right?
Yeah, she's a very demanding imaginary friend.
So this is part of what's so interesting to me is, right, is that I think we sometimes have this kind of fairyland idea about imaginary friends, but they're often like pretty complicated relationships. We have to visit them or ways in which they engage with us. So I also had an imaginary friend whose name was John, and John and I did lots and lots of things together, but he mostly lived in the woods or in the bathtub. Those were our two locations that we spent time together. So all of these ideas about imaginary friends and imagination have really been sort of bouncing around in my mind for a long time. And then Rebecca said, well, let's do something and let's put those ideas together. And so our first film was actually Imaginary Brown. And it felt like not only a fun experiment in thinking about these projects, but also in a trial of our collaboration as two artists thinking about how do we feel interested in movement, interested in location, interested in color, and interested in film and how all of those parts go together. And Rebecca, maybe you can speak about the film part of that as sort of our next step.
Yeah, I think the thing that I thought about really adding to that is thinking about the film not just as a document of a dance, which you often see, I think, in the sort of dance film world, but really to think about the synergy between how the camera is moving or what types of movements we want to create with the camera and what type of movements light is doing, and then the inherent movements in the landscape itself. So that first piece, we did a time lapse. It's actually still images. And the idea being that we were trying to create a kind of like jerky or unnatural movement that would be sort of uncanny or otherworldly, that would kind of invoke the spirit character. And then, of course, the time lapse also, and I think this was something that I'm really interested in, is bringing in sort of like props and other objects that have like a very strong symbolic association, a kind of dream logic where an object takes on a significance that at first you're not sort of quite sure what that significance is, but how to build up a kind of world or a vocabulary around that object. Mm-hmm. And the time lapse allowed me to kind of come in and do things in the landscape, you know, like start the fire or move the dresses, and then easily cut myself out of it so that it all sort of fits and feels like it's happening kind of spontaneously.
I have very little experience with that, so it felt so fun. And part of what has been, I think, also such a gift in our collaboration is that we both really understand our individual fields well, and so therefore could easily give a lot of respect to the other one to say, great, you know about that, so you're in charge of that part, and I know about this, and I'm in charge of that part. And so the movement, at least in Imaginary Brown, needed to be extremely slow, even though with the time lapse it seems so fast. So I'm actually moving as slow as I possibly can in that, and really thinking about repetition and improvising, right? So we had sort of a general idea of we knew where I would go, but we didn't know exactly what I would do in each of those locations, with some exceptions. And so again, it just felt really fun and freeing to be able to play that way. Imaginary Black was our next one. One of the things that I love about working with Rebecca is that she's like so game for pretty wacko ideas. And so she had the idea about this blow-up suit that we ordered online. So as you can see in the film, right, I have two different outfits. One is like this black kind of sleek traditional kind of unitard, also quite peculiar outfit. And then the other is a blow-up suit.
It was early spring at that point, and one of the things that happens in the spring here is that the snow melts and everything gets very wet and everything is decaying and things aren't really quite growing yet. Things feel really dark and moody and otherworldly. The blow-up suit for me felt a little bit like almost like a mold growing, some kind of like ominous organic form that was kind of getting bigger and shrinking, that had its own movement that wasn't quite a human movement. So again, introducing this sort of non-human element into the landscape.
That cave part of it and the two outfits and sometimes having my head covered, like all of that can just felt alive, right? You know, something can feel both creepy and kind of lovely at the same time, sort of interesting that way.
I think the movement in that piece for me was the most thought out. We had really scouted some locations and had talked about how to move between locations. Rather than just staying, you know, with the camera in one place, we decided to abandon that and allow the camera to move to create a pathway through these different sort of scenes. And so that piece, I think, for me was the most planned out. Like that, it was like you knew you were going to go from here to here to here and back to here.
Well, and I remember you've been saying that you were really interested in that as the editor and as the videographer, about sort of like how would we put these different parts together and how could we make them connected through the camera. Our third project together, we had talked about the stream part, and then Rebecca had the idea of the pool. It felt really fun to play with those kind of elements of what's real and what's not real. So the stream being kind of real and then underwater being kind of unreal, and then those ridiculous little tiny fake flowers and sort of the change of outfits, and again playing with farther and farther into a different world and then back out.
The surface of the water was really the threshold between these two worlds. And for me, the editing with that one was much more like how I usually make stuff, which is that I sort of film a lot of stuff. That felt a little bit more like, okay, how do we create this movement between the two worlds, and how to make it feel like it flows in its kind of dreamlike logic.
And so I think that that's been part of what's felt fun is, where do our two art forms overlap, and then where are they totally different and we don't share any common knowledge? And so I felt like I saw that the most actually in Imaginary Yellow, and in listening to you talk about editing felt like the most familiar to me, actually.
As I said before, I've been doing a lot of work about the body, and what excited me about Lida's ideas right in the beginning had to do with sight and had to do with this movement into a kind of unconscious world. So I'm working with a lot of themes about the unconscious and how we access the unconscious through the body. And the title for the show, Skin Ego, actually came very recently from a quote that I found that's actually from Freud that talks about the skin being this boundary that contains us and defines our ego or our sense of self. And kind of along the same lines, there's an idea I've been playing with that's also a psychoanalytic idea of your ego is primarily a bodily ego. You first learn how you are in the world or how you are a person in the world through your body and through touch and through viscera and all of this kind of stuff. So that's very exciting to me. And Lida's idea about sort of thinking about children's inner world. So that fit, felt like that fit very well. Yeah, I think the only thing that we haven't really touched on that I think would be interesting to touch on would be the sound. I think the most successful piece was that first one, Imaginary Brown, in which Lida and I had an opportunity to just be together and do sound recordings around that site. And I think that to me felt very ideal, like how to really use what's in the site as source material, even though what ended up happening as we modulated the sounds and layered the sounds is something that, you know, really in some ways has nothing to do with the site at all, or it has nothing to do with the diegetic sound of the natural site. So that's very interesting to me, that kind of like etymology of where the sound comes from. The other two pieces were a little bit more, we had some ideas about what types of sounds, I mean, the geese, for example, like we were hearing the geese in the background and just felt like it's such a bizarre, weird, silly sound, like it's just a ridiculous sound. And so like how to make it in such a way that it even sounds even more ridiculous. The four pieces that are shot on plexiglass. Again, there's this interest in like these different environments and these different materials and how to investigate through the body these different sort of surreal world. I've exhibited those pieces in installation form. One show that happened with those pieces was last summer in an abandoned orphanage, and they were all embedded in the walls or in the floor. Or in these very small spaces on very small screens. So that also kind of played with this idea of the ghosts of past children. Yeah. The other two pieces, Tap Lessons, and then the elastic piece that I'm calling Skin Ego One, those two pieces kind of came out of a memory that I had of being a child and taking tap lessons. And I loved doing tap, and yet I was very sort of, I didn't quite fall in line. I took tap lessons with another friend of mine who also was a bit unruly, and we eventually got kicked out. We weren't allowed to come back. And I remember that being also very much about the body. I was a bit overweight as a child, and just the feeling, I remember this very visceral feeling of like putting on the dance tights. Mm-hmm. It was like very thick pink dance tights. And the feeling of like trying to sort of like stuff my flesh into the dance tights and that constricting feeling, that very self-conscious feeling, very uncomfortable. And that memory felt very juicy to me, both in terms of the psychology of it, but also the material. So that pink elastic material is something I've been working with now for a couple of years. A lot of different installations, different ways. You see it in the plexiglass pieces as well. So this kind of second skin that kind of reoccurs for me. And then the tap lessons piece I shot at a dance studio. I collaborated with a woman who was teaching a tap lesson to young girls. And I infiltrated the class. And for a long time, I just observed and got to know them and their families a bit. Did some preliminary filming. And then when they were getting ready for their recital, they allowed me to come in and kind of direct a session where each of the little girls did the routine by herself in front of the whole class. And I shot each little girl in isolation and then put them together and synced them back up. Mm-hmm. So you get this kind of thing where they've learned to be in rhythm to a certain extent, but there's all kinds of flaws and there's all kinds of self-consciousness and there's all kinds of things that are going wrong.
I think this is true probably for both you and I, Rebecca, that sometimes I have made work that really has like a clear story or a clear narrative or like a clear impetus. And then other times it's really more image driven or more feeling driven. And so even though those first three films, you know, came from these ideas about imaginary friends or about otherworldliness, part of what felt so fun is that that is such a big concept. And so instead of it being like, oh, now we tell the story of Rebecca's imaginary friend, Jessica, we just get to capture that otherworldly, that kind of mystical, magical, creepy feeling, both in movement and in the camera and sort of in all of the parts together. And as an artist, I think that that just feels really healthy and really important to be able to do more than one thing, right? To sometimes have a really clear linear story and sometimes not. And so for these particular projects, it's just felt really important to me personally to step away from trying to make it into a box, right? To just have it be about the images or about the feelings. And I think that, yeah, that's just been a really nice addition. Thank you so much, Rebecca, and I feel so happy to be all the way in California. It's such a gift, so thank you.